Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Welcome, everybody, to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. I got Mike joining us here in a few minutes, our intern. Glad to have him on. We're going to talk about some MLB All-Star. Got an opportunity to hang out with the old high school buddy of mine last weekend and go to the Indians and Reds game. That was a blast. As my Indians went ahead and took care of business in a two-game series, 7-2 with the game I was in, 11-1. Ironically enough, my boy thought that the Reds were going to win 12-0 the next night. And it'd be a 12-game run, but the Indians up 11-1. We got some NBA talk to get into. We're going to address the elephant in the room when it comes to the women's soccer and the pay, as we'll get our thoughts on that. And then also, we got Izzo joining us at 9:30, so looking forward to that as well. Before we jump into that, let me go ahead and make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. Also, got to thank Carolina Sports Plus. You guys can find them on Facebook as well, Carolina Sports Plus, or go to our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for the latest. And click the banner, find a location near you for Fit for Life. As I'm just all over the place. What's going on right now? Still Chuck coming off vacation. I told you what the vacation was even like. I got 7 hours of sleep when I got back Monday night. That was more than I got the entire 5 days I was actually out of town. That kind of tells you how the vacation was. But anyway, want to make sure that I thank them. Without them, this all wouldn't be possible. So I want to make sure that I thank them. And there was something else that I wanted to throw in there before Mike joins us here. Tomorrow night, the guys at Race Chat Live, Greg and Chris and Craig, will be joining us. We'll be having their show. I'll be joining them. 8 o'clock. So make sure you guys tune into that. Daytona, whoa, got an Xfinity Series guy, still a race. How does that even happen? Looking forward to that. As we got Mike joining us here in a second, so I don't want to jump into too much, as we got a lot to jump into. Oh, lordy, lordy. Lordy. There's Mike. So I'm going to get him in the studio. Like I said, I didn't want to jump into too much before we got him in here because there's a lot of things that we got to jump into when I didn't want to double dip anything. So we got MLB All-Star. We got some NBA stuff. We got some women's soccer. And, of course, we'll jump into when Izzo gets here at 9:30 to talk some NHL. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad, brother. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Kind of recover from vacation. as I didn't announce this, but Mike, a mutual friend of ours, Tim, that actually kind of got us connected. Well, not kind of, but did get us connected. We're all going to be hanging out the 23rd, and we're going to watch the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. That is the Houston Astros affiliation. We're going to check them out, and they're playing something to do with my Indians. You guys both know. I don't know. You can tell me a little bit more of what, or let them know a little bit more than what I know, because both of y'all have said this, and I forget every time what the affiliation is with the Indians. As for those that don't know, don't follow me on Facebook. I was at the Reds Indians game over the weekend. Had a blast. Was about 14 rows up. Got to watch my Indians do their thing, and was very happy, especially being with the Reds fan, hanging out. So that was a great weekend. What is the connection with the Indians again?
Well, Lynchburg is the Indians' high A affiliate in Virginia.
Okay.
Their rookie ball is the team in Newton Falls, the Mahoney Valley Scrappers. So essentially, the Indians have a rookie ball, a short season single A, long season single A, double A, triple A team. Not every team has a rookie league.
Gotcha. So looking forward to that. As we're gonna have a great time that night. So looking forward to that. I know we got some NBA stuff. I know we got some, obviously, with the MLB. I know Tim was blowing up my phone when talking about the All-Star stuff, so I know we got that stuff to talk about. I want to touch on this real quick because this has been the big elephant in the room for everybody, talking about the women's soccer. There's your pros and cons with it, and I kind of want to throw out my thoughts. I'm kind of undecided on the whole pay thing. I do know from the information that I've gotten, the men draw in like $6 billion, but only get 7% of that. Women only bring in $130 million, but they do get like 23% of that. So they actually get more of a percentage of the cut of what they actually bring in. I'm not saying it makes it justifiable, but they do get a bigger cut of what gets brought in. It's just a significantly less number. I will say I do not watch men's soccer. I love me some Alex Morgan. I love me some Hope Solo. I'm sad that she's no longer part of all this. I will watch women's soccer all day long. I'm a guy, so it is what it is. And I love me some women's USA. I will watch. I did not catch this. I was out of town when all this went on. But normally I do catch the women's when they go for the gold, when they go for the World Cup. This is the first year that I've actually missed it. But you kind of walk a slippery slope when we talk about this and equal pay, because what exactly is equal pay versus what is brought in versus your cut versus, and they got into the whole conversation earlier about the WNBA versus the NBA, and even the cut of your top 10 NBA players versus the rest of the NBA, but those top 10 players bring in all the money, and that's where. So it even when you talk within the NBA or talk within the NFL, there's not an actual even pay. Certain players get paid more, but they also bring in more revenue, and they're what puts butts in the seat. So it's kind of a tricky conversation, and I understand where the women's soccer is coming from, and trust me, like I said, I will watch women's soccer all day long. I love Team USA when it comes to women's soccer. I have never watched a guy's soccer game. I never. but I don't know. I'm a sucker for Hope Solo and Alex Morgan, and now some of the new girls that are a part of the team. You know, I started watching the back when Hope Solo and Alex Morgan were new to it. So, you know, that's how long back I was watching it. But it is a slippery slope. You know, even within most people's jobs, there's a reason why this person gets paid more than this person. Why, you know, a prime example, we have a store up the road, a brand new big store, and I think you've been in Spring Lake lately, the big massive store they built the other side of town. Well, you know, you got employees and assistant managers that make just as much as I make as a store manager 5 years in. But I also understand that store is a higher volume store. There's more to it. You know, there's a lot of things that factor into it. And I think people get really wrapped up and get judgmental when they see numbers, but they don't actually do the research and don't actually dig into what the numbers mean and why they came to the numbers that, you know, the end result to why this person gets paid versus this pay. You know, my daughter works for the company. She actually, 1 year into the company, makes just as much on the hour as I make 5 years in, knowing that I turned a store around that used to do 30, 40 grand to almost 100 grand and then turn another store around that does five more grand a week, 20 more grand a week, month than it did originally, and she still makes more because she had an opportunity to be at the new store. So I understand why the women are kind of upset, but I also understand the other side of it, and being a person that has run many businesses and understand the bottom line dollar and how all that works at the same time. Long story short, I understand both sides. And so it kind of, and being a fan of the women's soccer, I want to lean towards their side of it. But if the money's not there at the same time, you can't pay somebody that the money's not there. And this goes for all sports and across the board. Mike, your thoughts on this, because this seems to be the biggest hot topic right now on the sports world, and it's even involved the president and everything else. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, when you get down to it, you brought up the money factor. When you look at MLS, it took them 20 years to make a profit. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they had every team was centrally owned by WMEIMG. Okay. So they footed those losses. Once they showed profitability, they started spinning franchises off and having individual owners and all that. Okay. So they had somebody that was able to absorb the losses, somebody that was willing to. And when you get down to it, you know, men's soccer is the biggest ticket worldwide. You know, like it, you look at the transfer fees just for one player, you know, they're breaking $70, $80 million. You know, money is changing hands just to bring over one player to an organization. Women's soccer has never had that financial backing. The NWSL, which is the new professional league, I think that's the third women's pro league just in my lifetime, you know, and that's saying something. They typically get 6 or 7 years out of it. They don't have strong backers. You know, honestly, it's a lot like the Alliance of American Football. You don't have money behind it at the start, it's going to flop. You know, it's not going to do well. And my biggest thing is with men's soccer, there's been, I think, 28, 30 men's World Cups. Our men's team is only qualified for less than half or something like that, okay? The women's team has medaled in every year there's been a Women's World Cup. You know, you pay for results, man. Like, our men's team does not win. Are they any better from everything I've read? Sure. But being competitive, like, in CONCACAF is not like being competitive in Europe. So when they're winning, you know, Central American titles, you know, or Northern Hemisphere titles, you know, then they go to Europe or play friendlies with European clubs, and they just get, you know, they'll have some competitive matches, but then you have that match where they just get throttled. You know, our women's team does not do that. They just go out and win, you know, and yeah. There's this, you know, thing on the internet where this like 15U team beat them. And let's face it, a lot of their starters weren't on the field. You know, it's like, dude, you know, our women's team goes out and honestly just thumps, you know, people. They play great, you know, ball movement. They're out there. And then when you look at a lot of the men's team, especially under Arenas, like it was boring soccer to begin with. And I'm not a big soccer fan because I think it's boring anyway.
Yeah, that's why I watch the women. Like
yeah, you know, it was like watching paint dry, the men's team under Bruce Arenas. And they brought him back a second time after they fired him. You know, so it just seems like, you know, you're going to have financial backing for the men's game because, like you said, that's what's that's where you want to be. You know, that's where you want to make it in the pinnacle of men's soccer. But the fact of the matter is our men's teams, even with the rabid fan base that the United States has now, I mean, you look at, you know, the fans essentially kept the Columbus Crew in Columbus. They were on their way to Austin, Texas. But, you know, their fans kept them there. And, you know, but the men's team just doesn't win. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, you know, I would like to see more funding for women's soccer, give them a chance to get out there. You know, that's why a lot of them play professionally over in Europe, because our professional women's leagues just don't last very long, unfortunately.
Oh, such a hot topic. It is so crazy to me. Like, it seems that my social media is just full of all this stuff. And speaking of full of, the other two things that it's been full of over the last weekend is one, of course, Major League Baseball and All-Star Weekend and the Home Run Derby, more specifically. And then also Kawhi Leonard, the Lakers, and what went on in the NBA. Your choice, which direction you want to go to, and let's hear what you got to
well,
say about
it. Well, I'll
say
right now, I love the Home Run Derby. Watching Vlad Jr. go out there, and Vlad Guerrero was always one of my favorite ball players. I remember when he was still in Montreal, some dude threw a slider that bounced off home plate, and he still hit it and got a double out of it. You know, he just had that weird, really awkward-looking swing, and the guy still belted almost 500 home runs. It was like a 300 hitter. And you got to think how long he could have played at the highest level if he wasn't playing on that awful turf in Montreal. I mean, it was fun watching him and Jock Peterson just go back and forth. I loved it. And then seeing Alonso come out with the, you know, winning it. And I'll tell you right now, for my money, there really isn't a better swing in baseball than Alonso right now. He's able to keep his hands back. You know, he had a couple opposite field homers, and I'm just like, dude, nobody does that, you know, not even in the Home Run Derby. And it's a pretty swing. It's compact. You know, he gets his legs in it, gets a lot of forward motion with his torso. So, I mean, the Mets, if they have two brain cells in their front office, and I'm not convinced that's the case, they're going to lock him up long term and then put people around him to actually not waste, you know, his talent.
Oh, so. I tell you what, that Home Run Derby was something else. Like I said, Tim, he hit me up and he was all, yeah, I was like, what are you talking? Because, you know, like I said, I think at the time I was still out of town. Was it Sunday night or Monday night?
Monday night.
I was back, but I slept like maybe 5 hours the entire weekend. Like it was, I got into town, and you're an Ohio native, and so you kind of know. Like I flew in Monday, and I grew up in the days that Kings Island had like three roller coaster rides. That was it. You had the King Cobra, you had the Racers, and the Vortex was something new. They got like 20 roller coaster rides now. So after two airplane rides and like 20 roller coaster rides, and there was no line, the military was free. So being prior service, I got in free, and there wasn't nobody there. There was no line. Like the days when I grew up, there was a chance you waited 2 hours in the line before you got to ride anything. Wednesday, there was no line. You pretty much went up, and they told you which line, what number to go into, and you were there. And it was, you know, and I was with her kids. So it was go, 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 go. It got to be about 7, 8 o'clock, and it was like, look, I said, I don't care if they keep riding. I said, I don't care what rides they ride. I said, this guy right here, after two airplane rides and a bunch of rides, I said, my insides need to settle down. And so between that and then Thursday, it was the 4th, and so it was all day with the family, and it was fireworks, and it was a late night. And then Friday, it was the Columbus Zoo, and then Saturday, it was the Cincinnati Reds Indians game, and Sunday, it was the falls and hiking. By the time Monday rolled around, and no sleep Monday or Sunday night, because, of course, everybody, you know, that's the last night I'm in town. So come Monday, and I'm getting a text, or, you know, a message on Facebook from Tim, and I'm just like, what? I have no idea what you're even talking about. Like, well, I don't even know what's going on right now. I'm lucky to even function in and be in the way, because as soon as I got into town, it was straight to work and everything else. And then I hit the couch. I tried to take a nap, and my phone's going off and everything else. And then I get back to work, and then the first thing out of my employee's mouth as well today was, you go out of town and the whole NBA world gets turned upside down. You know, the last thing we talked about was Kawhi Leonard looking for property and staying in Toronto after winning a championship. And now Kawhi is going elsewhere, and there's talks of Westbrook. I don't know if that ever came of anything, but I know Westbrook talking about leaving OKC, Paul George going to with Kawhi Leonard, which didn't make sense to me because I thought Kawhi wanted to be the man, but you add Paul George, does that really make him the man? So catch me up. Because I'm lost right now, because it was the last thing I even had. I don't think I even turned the TV on the entire time. I don't think I had an opportunity to turn the TV on. What exactly happened this weekend in the NBA?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and just take my L, since I came out and said I didn't think Kawhi would leave after winning a title. All right, I'm just going to take it right now. But I can't remember.
I'll take one with you. I didn't think so either.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting there watching the UFC fight on Saturday, and then as soon as the fight ended at 1 o'clock in the morning, because you know they don't start the main cards until 10. All right, I'm already excited because it was just a good card all around, just a bunch of knockouts. It was amazing, and then my phone, like everybody's phone, starts pinging, and then we see Kawhi trying to deal with the Clippers. Now, I'm not. You know, I know you've been busy, but he didn't sign a 4-year deal. He only signed a 3-year deal. So he's going to be a free agent again in 2021. Okay. Like that offseason of 2021, 2022, which puts him as a free agent with Paul George, LeBron, and a couple other big names. So we may see another huge feeding frenzy in during that summer. Okay. Now, but Kawhi signed a deal, and then 15 minutes later, phone starts pinging again. Paul George was traded for everything, okay? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was the Clippers' starting point guard last year, who looks just phenomenal. Danilo Gallinari, who's had an up-and-down career since he was drafted. He's essentially just there because his salary falls off the ledger after the season, okay? And then they get 4 first-round draft picks from the Clippers in 2022, 2024, and 2026, which is legal because it's not a first-round pick in 3 straight years. That is illegal, and that was because of what the Cavs did in 1980. Okay? And then they get 2 first-round choices that are coming through Miami in 2021 and 2023. Okay? And then there's a pick swap in 2023 and 2025. Okay? So, I mean, Sam Presti, who's the general manager of Oklahoma City, is just completely restocked his team. You know, he is losing Paul George. You know, and that's a tough one to lose too. I really like Paul George, outstanding two-way ball player. He's able to make his own offense. But I mean, the Clippers.
But is,
you know,
but
and I'm sorry.
Is restocking really the answer though? We watched them have an opportunity. I mean, and I saw this post earlier. There's no reason I bring this up because once upon a time, they had KD, Westbrook, and James Harden and couldn't make it all happen. And they had Serge Ibaka. Like they had players that are championship-caliber players in the NBA right now and could not put it together and make it happen.
But that
this
goes,
staff,
that goes back
is this
to what
organization
we were talking about.
Ready to –
I mean, that honestly goes back to what we talked about last time. It comes down to bench depth. Oklahoma City didn't have that kind of depth when KD, Harden, and who's the third one that you just said? KD Harden and Westbrook. They were just thin on the bench, and we saw that this past finals how important bench depth is. And the thing is, you look at what New Orleans did. They get that slew of picks from the Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis. Okay, but they are going to have an outstanding defensive backcourt with Lonzo and Jrue Holiday. They just picked up J.J. Redick, so you've got the deep shooting. And on top of that, you've got this athletic specimen and Zion. Like, they completely retooled their franchise already, and they're going to have a good bench. I'm not saying that New Orleans is going to be championship caliber next year. That's wishful thinking. But they're going to be a good team. And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. The Clippers, I like what they did. I mean, granted, they're sending out a lot of first-round picks, a lot of them, okay? But the fact of the matter is, with Golden State down, this is a chance for the Clippers to finally get a title. So take that. You know what I mean? Like, take that opportunity to do so the same way Toronto did this past season, bringing in Kawhi. I like what the Clippers did because they still have a good bench. They still got Lou Williams, and a couple other outstanding players that play good team ball, you know? So, I mean, it's going to be – I think the West is going to be really weird next year just because we're so used to seeing – you know, Golden State just running through folks. But the fact of the matter is, with Golden State probably going to be down, trying to integrate Russell into that offense next to Steph Curry, I mean, this is the time to do it. The Lakers are going to have a really good starting five, I think. I'm still not sold on the bench step. Like, bringing back, like, Rajon Rondo, Caldwell Pope. Like, I just don't see them being able to hang in a rough seven-game series against, like, the Clippers or even Portland or Utah. I mean, Utah has completely changed the face of their team, and they've just gotten better. I think next year, like, it's going to be the Clippers' championship to lose because we're not going to get much out of the East. That's just Toronto is going to have to completely retool their game. You'll probably see them. I mean, they got a lot of people that'll be coming off the book.
What they did.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like they lost a lot. I mean, they lost one player, picked up a player. They made a few modifications. It wasn't like the Cavaliers where they retooled their whole team, or even the Heat when they brought everybody in. Do you feel winning one championship, bringing Kawhi in, giving up what you give, and losing somebody in DeRozan that, you know, was really a fan favorite for one championship, and that's all you're probably going to get. Do you feel it's worth it?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at Toronto. They've always had a good fan base. Like, Toronto fans love their teams. But look at what the Raptors have done. They've never really rebuilt. You know, they've always been that team kind of on the edge of contention. And let's face it, you know, they could have been – coming out of the East had LeBron not went back to Cleveland when you get down to it, you know, they had momentum going with DeRozan and Lowry, and then they would hit the wall that was LeBron James. And that's what it was. But Masai Ujiri is probably one of the best general managers in basketball right now. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him like kind of pull something out of nowhere. But when you get down to it, you know, Toronto's going to slide. I don't really think Boston got better bringing in Kemba. I think you're going to have less headache coming out of that team. But I think you still have the same team that really leaned on a lot of young players, and it didn't work out this past year. And don't get me wrong, I really like Kemba Walker, and I think Charlotte just wasted, 10 years of his career. And it killed me to see him come out and say, well, you know, I would take less money to stay in Charlotte, and then Jordan and the Hornets just lowballed him completely. And he said, forget it. You know, I'll go somewhere else. But, you know, I just like the East. I just don't see strong teams coming out of the East. Like, you know, Philly, you know, really young, but until Ben Simmons develops a jump shot, I mean, that's going to be problematic. It's great having a 6'10 point guard who rebounds well and has a good mid-range game, but you've got to be able to stretch the floor, and Ben Simmons can't do that. Like, he cannot do that right now. You know, so Philly's got holes, especially losing J.J. Redick, who was really their only deep threat. They did re-sign Tobias Harris, which I thought was a good idea. I'm not sure $180 million was if he's that kind of player, but
yeah,
you know, we'll find out. But I mean, Jimmy Butler in Miami, what's he really doing for that franchise? You know, I mean, it's Pat Riley has never really been, you know, and you know this as well as I do, you know, he's not a fan of rebuilds. He's content on being an 8 seed as long as he's making the playoffs, you know.
That and Pat Riley is also the type of guy that is his team. He's, you know, and I don't know. It's not that I'm not a fan of Butler, but there's a lot that comes with Butler for some reason. There's a reason why he has bounced around and he's not fit in really anywhere and not gotten along with the team anywhere. And
I mean, he's on his fourth team in what, 7 years? I mean, that's not a good ratio right there. You know, but I mean,
there's also a reason why your big name stars are not saying, hey, come play me. There's a reason why LeBron is not saying, there's a reason why, you know, the talk gets out there. And I don't know. It just seems like there's a, and it's not that I'm an anti-Butler. He's a great player. And there's certain players that are, to me, Westbrook is a great player, but it doesn't mean he's necessarily a team player. It's not necessarily the guy you want to try to build a team around. If you want a one-man show or, you know, you want to put up stats, that's one thing. But I don't know, Butler's just not that guy. And then you throw Pat Riley, it kind of went the same way, you know. Once upon a time, LeBron James wanted Spoelstra out of there, and Riley's like, no, this is the way it's going to be. And, you know, Spoelstra still has his job at this point. So I don't know. I would have loved to have been in the room when that conversation with Pat Riley and Jimmy Butler happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you get down to it, though, I like what these GMs are doing because there's, you know, guys like Sam Presti, you know, and David Griffin down New Orleans, they're getting these picks and seeing what they have. So we see what we have, and we can do a couple things. You know, we can package these picks, trade for an established guy, or we can trade and fill out our bench, or, you know, draft and fill out our bench. You know, so they have options. But when you hamstring your team and don't afford it to have those first-round picks, even low picks, you know, say 20 to 30, you know, you're cutting off your ability to essentially restack your bench with new talent, you know, and then you have to do what the Lakers did, kind of like Jared Dudley, bringing back Rajon Rondo, you know, Kentavious Powell, you know, Cole, you know, like KCP, like those are guys where you know what you're getting, and it's not, I don't see it being enough come playoff time. I mean, Anthony Davis might be the best dude that LeBron's ever played next to, and that's no disrespect to Dwayne Wade, but Anthony Davis is just this, like, he's a physical specimen who, like, even on bad New Orleans teams was still just dominating, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, on that hand, it's good, but how are you going to fill out that bench? You know? And I think next season it'll probably be a little easier because they signed like Rajon and KCP and a couple of these other guys, Boogie, to 1 and 2 year deals. So they'll be off the books in a year or two. And then you can go chase the next big name or whatever. But I think the Lakers would have had a harder time bringing in Kawhi because that would have literally locked in essentially all their salary cap space except like $10 million. So they would have had to flesh out 12 roster spots with $12 million and a mid-level exemption of like $4.5 million. You know, so, I mean, if anything, this offseason told us that maybe not shoot for the big three, but you definitely have to have two. You have to have two. You know, Kawhi got his two with the Paul George trade. LeBron's got AD. You know, you still have Chris Paul and James Harden, you know, if they're getting along or not. You know, but, you know, even in Golden State, you still have Draymond and Steph, and Klay's still there too. Yeah. What'll be interesting is next year when Draymond's deal's up and they have to re-sign him. So, you know, I mean, we saw Iguodala got traded to Memphis expecting a buyout, and the Memphis GM said, no, we're not just going to let you cut you so you can go sign with the Lakers. We're going to get something in return for you. So, you know, I was really interested at that.
Oh, Lord.
Because, I mean, even before the trade was finalized, man, you know, like Steve Wojnarowski, you know, and a couple of other NBA bigwigs were like, yeah, man, he's expecting a buyout. He's going to sign a veterans minimum deal with the Lakers. And, you know, the Memphis GM's like, no, not going to happen, you know.
KD, Kyrie, big topic all year long. Everybody thought the Knicks. And things didn't play out quite that way. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, here, when you get down to it, 3 years ago, Brooklyn was the worst team in the world with no draft picks. And they essentially spun bad contracts into low first round picks and really, really just hit on them. You know, even taking D'Angelo Russell out of the equation, you know, they got guys like Caris LeVert and a couple lower round picks that have really just came into their own being allowed to play. Sean Marks is that general manager there. He hands down should be, you know, should have been, you know, one of the executive of the year award winners the last couple of years, trying to clean up that whole mess that Brooklyn was in. But they bring in a good young coach you know, let these guys play. They completely revamp that entire franchise. And then they have, you know, this beautiful arena they play in Brooklyn. Okay, cross the bridge, going to Manhattan. Yes, you still have Madison Square Garden. But the Knicks are a dumpster fire. And they have been for 25 years, you know, and I like what they did with in the front office, bringing in a new GM, David Fizdale as a head coach, but they have swung and missed on so many first round picks, you know, Frank Ntilikina, you know, from France, I think he was taken ninth overall. They're already looking to move him. You know, they traded Kristaps Porzingis, who might have been the only first rounder that the Knicks have hit on in the last 15 years. I do like Kevin Knox, but, like, I really just didn't see Kyrie and KD going to play for the Knicks and being a 8 or 7 seed and, you know, just literally having to carry that entire team on their back. They're not going to have to do that in Brooklyn. I think next year is going to be a learning curve for Kyrie and keeping those young players involved in the offense. You know, maybe dribbling a little less. Making more passes, but they're a good enough defensive team where they can cover up Kyrie's defensive, you know, inefficiencies because he is an awful defensive player until KD gets back. And even if KD comes back 80% of what he was, he's still better than 80% of the NBA. You know, and it just that is going to be a rough team in the East. I think that's going to be the one we have to watch out for when KD gets back. Because those young players are still in their contract. Brooklyn still has a little bit of wiggle room to bring in, maybe not a max player, but, you know, another guy that can fit into the offensive system and just, you know, I can see them doing like the Cavs did, you know, NBA Finals, 4 years running, getting a couple rings, you know, even if they do go, you know, 2 or 3, you know, and they only get the one ring, it's going to be like it was in Toronto. Brooklyn fans are going to love it. And the best thing I saw on Twitter was, you know, essentially a Brooklyn Nets fan application, and they had a special section for Knicks fans, you know.
Oh, Lord.
You know, there was all this talk about, you know, we're going to New York. Well, dude, there's two teams there now. There's not just the Knicks anymore.
Yeah.
The Nets aren't in Jersey. You know, you're not crossing the bridge into the swamp, you know. You're right there in one of the boroughs. So why wouldn't it be Brooklyn? It's just a better team overall.
Yeah.
It's a better situation. It offers them a chance to win rather than you struggling for a year or two with the Knicks. You know, there isn't any bench depth. They don't know how to develop young players, and I think that'll change under Fizdale. But, like, come on, man. Like, the Knicks are just – they're not good. You know, especially when the draft balls didn't fall in their favor and they didn't get Zion. You know, I mean?
there's a lot of question with the ownership and everything else, and it's just – it's been one thing after another in that organization, and it truly is sad. Not being a Cleveland fan, I'm the type I don't have another team. Like there's the Browns and there's 31 teams I hate. With the NBA, there's the Cavaliers and there's 29 teams I hate. When the MLB, there's the Indians and there's so many teams that I hate. But to know the history and how important the Knicks are to the NBA and Madison Square Garden, and to know that they're not relevant and they have not been relevant for such a long time, it is, even as a Cavalier fan, truly sad. And I wish that they would find their way and be relevant, because there are certain teams, especially growing up. You know, I grew up in the days where there was Mason and Oakley and Ewing and Starks, and, you know, that's what I grew up watching. And to go from that to watching a New York Knicks team that you watch, what was it, Oakley, that got kicked out of the arena, and the fan, you know, and the owner banning him. Like, that's, you know, you go from, you know, as much as I did not like John Starks and even liking the Knicks, and you know, I found myself cheering for the Bulls, that I watched Jordan push Greg Eagle out of the way, and like, how is that not a foul? And you know, you didn't like John Starks regardless, and you know, I wasn't even a Jordan fan, but you also learn to respect and learn to appreciate what you grew up watching, and you know, and to watch that not be the same Knicks that we're watching, like you. Even not being a Knicks fan, you want to see them turn things around and be at least relevant in the NBA. We got Izzo in the studio. Go ahead.
The NBA is a better league when you have, like, the Big Ten pole franchises, you know, that are in the mix. You know, like, none of us like the Cowboys except Cowboys fans, right, in the NFL. But the league's better when they are relevant. You know, it really is. Yeah. And it's really not fun that the Knicks –
just like the Yankees.
You know, yeah. You know, it's not fun when the Knicks are getting kicked around like a hacky sack every year. And you know what's going to happen every year. You know, look at the West. I mean, you and I both sat through the heartache of four straight finals and only won. And you know, it was an amazing title. But with the Lakers being down, it gave the opportunity for the Warriors to come up. And the thing is, I like that kind of dynamic when you get down to it from the Bay down into Southern California. You know, Golden State's not going to stay down. The Lakers are finally starting to get out of their mess. And then you have the Clippers. Like, that's going to be, when those other teams go on their West Coast swings, you know, when you hit California, it's going to be a fight the whole time. And I think that makes good basketball. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the season starting.
Oh, yeah. So, got Izzo in the studio. I'm going to get him plugged in here. I'm going to exert myself. And let Mike and Izzo, they did a phenomenal job the last week we were on the show, as we missed last week. And I do apologize. That was my doing. As once every other month, we have a huge planogram where every sign of my store changes. And then every other month, it's minor. Well, last month, the beginning of July, was the huge one where every sign changes. And normally it comes in on a Monday. And so we have – I'm supposed to actually open up my planogram and my signs and make sure I'm not missing anything on Monday. That way on Wednesday, I have everything I'm supposed to have. And usually I'm that manager that doesn't open anything till Wednesday. Well, of course, I go out of town Wednesday morning, first thing in the morning, so I got to do it Tuesday night. Well, of course, it doesn't come in on Monday. It doesn't even come in on Tuesday. It comes Tuesday night. So I have to go back up there 8 o'clock Tuesday night and do my signs that took me until midnight, to do paperwork that made it so I didn't get home until 1:15 in the morning, to turn around and get up at 2:30 to be at the airport or get picked up to go to the airport at 3 o'clock. So it was my doing that we didn't have a show last Tuesday. Well, Technically, it was my fault, but it wasn't my fault because of the sign. When it came in on Monday, like it ever does every other month, we would have been fine. But I know Izzo and Mike got a lot of things to catch you guys up on that's gone on in the NHL the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to jump out of here. I'm going to let these guys do their thing. Izzo, glad to have you back in the studio. Looking forward to catching up and letting you guys do your thing. I'm exerting myself now, so the floor is all yours, Izzo.
Hey, well, it's good to be back. We've had some trades happen the past couple weeks. We've also had some offer sheets offered to some restricted free agents, but unfortunately, as Mike says, we've had another death in the NHL family. Guy that helped pave the way for the new Nashville Predators, Craig Johnson, who was the captain of the Nashville Predators from 2002 to 2006, passed away on Monday. He was only 48. Johnson, who was a center, had 238 points, 93 goals, and 145 assists in 7 seasons with the Predators from 98 to 2006. Who was part of the who was selected by Nashville in the expansion draft back in '98 from the Chicago Blackhawks, and who was an alternate captain from '99 to 2002. Unfortunate that we had another sudden passing. He was an original Predator, part of that pretty cool jersey that I was so fond of, with the long tooth saber. A Sabercat that we've all come to know and love from the early years of the Nashville Predators. So condolences to the Nashville Predators family. Rather unfortunate whenever we see somebody, you know, in the NHL family pass away. But, you know, rather unfortunate, you know, to see and hear about. So thoughts and prayers to his family. Moving on, we've had one of my player favorites kind of call it quits after 21 seasons, a guy that we are familiar with in the Carolina area, Matt Cullen, who has called it quits after a 21-year career, won 2 cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins, also was part of the Stanley Cup team with the Carolina Hurricanes in 2006. So congratulations to him. He was one of the oldest players. Now that title belongs to Zdeno Chara of the Boston Bruins. So, you know, he's had a pretty stellar career. You know, he was one of the main guys on that Carolina Hurricanes team back in 06. You know, he's one of my favorites to watch. You know, 3-time Stanley Cup champion, second round pick in the 96 draft, 35th overall, over 1500 games played, second most by an American born player next to Chris Chelios, who's at over 1600 games. So, you know, congratulations to Matt Cullen on a stellar career, you know, multi Stanley Cup champion, one of the more well-liked guys in the locker room there, Mike. I don't know if you've remember that 2006 season with the Carolina Hurricanes and what they did with that team and everything. But, you know, a Minnesota-born guy, spent a season up there in Minnesota to kind of play for his hometown team and everything. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, I mean, he had one hell of a career. I mean, and the thing is, he was always a glue guy. You know, he might not have gotten you know, a ton of points. You know, his highest goal scoring was that Stanley Cup year in Carolina. He put 25 in the net, you know. But he was just one of those dudes that you had to have in your locker room, you know, if for anything, because he saw the ice in a different way and was essentially just an extra coach out there on the bench. I always liked him. I was appreciative. Like, I really dug when you know, the Penguins brought him back at the end of this past season. You know, I mean, it was I don't know, I always liked Matt Cullen. Like, he was just always one of those, he was always a nice guy. You know, you never saw anything negative about him. You know, he didn't gripe about playing time. You know, he just went out there and played hockey.
Yeah, definitely. He was one of those crucial center guys, you know, that you wanted on your bottom six or bottom four bottom two lines. You know, he definitely produced points. You know, he wasn't a stellar guy or a superstar in any means, but You know, he was definitely a factor in that 06 team and that back-to-back 2016-2017 Penguin Stanley Cup teams. So, you know, it's kind of cool that, you know, he's calling it, but I don't see him staying out of the NHL long. I do expect him to be in a front office position or a coaching position or even a development position at some point in time, you know, coming up here.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. There's no way any front office guy worth his salt is not going to make a phone call like next month saying, hey, man, you know, like you said, you want to work in the development pipeline? Do you want to come, you know, be the assistant GM or a lead scout or something?
Yeah, definitely. And I expect him to be a part of some sort of front office there pretty shortly. But, you know, kudos to him. What a career. And I expect him to be in the front office. But when we look at some of the trades that have been made so far, you know, I'd say going back from the 24th of June last year, but this Dallas Stars acquired Ryan Hartman from the Philadelphia Flyers for Tyler Pitlick. This is just one move by Dallas that I really like, because if you look, they signed a couple big name players to really bolster that that Dallas squad. So if you look, they signed Corey Perry, who is a longtime Anaheim Duck, to a 1-year, $1.5 million deal, which I think is an excellent steal, really, especially because Perry's coming off of a pretty bad knee injury. And they also signed Joe Pavelski, who was the longtime captain of the San Jose Sharks, to a 3-year contract. So, and you know, getting defenseman Andre Sequeira on a 1-year deal, you know, from what I've seen so far with Ben Bishop in net, you still have Radulov, Ben and Tyler Seguin. That's going to be my early preseason pick on a Stanley Cup, my Stanley Cup pick so far. So, you know, Dallas has made some splashes, you know, so far early on, and they still have a lot of young guys. Hiskinen, who's going to be on the up and up. One of our local Pittsburgh boys, Steven Johns, who's from that Pittsburgh, north of the Pittsburgh area. It's going to be an interesting Dallas Stars season, especially since what they've done so far. I do expect them to make the playoffs, especially with Pavelski, who's probably going to be on that second line, who's going to eat up a lot of minutes. He's definitely going to see some power play time along with Corey Perry, too, as well.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Dallas is going for broke this season. You know, it just seems like the Stars always yo-yo. You know, you get two or three good years out of them, and then they drop off. You know, and it's just, everything's bigger in Texas, you know. Texas is going to be the best at everything, you know. So I'm not really surprised that this is happening, but I mean, I really like some of the moves. I like that one, and I'll tell you right now, between you and I, is I was really surprised. Maybe I shouldn't. Surprise isn't the word, but when the Phil Kessel trade, that one.
Yeah, that was a huge one, and you know what, I'm okay with that. I mean, they're getting Alex Galchenyuk, you know, in return, who's younger, who was the leading scorer for the Montreal Canadiens before he was traded to Arizona, which, you know, kind of baffled me when that first happened. But, you know, the Coyotes got some are going to have some splashes to really kind of, you know, really kind of make a really big, you know, splash in that Western Conference and that Pacific Division. You know, they got a lot of young core guys. You know, they still have, you know, some good players still on that roster. Ekblad, if I remember, if that's his name, is still going to be, you know, the highlight of that defense and everything. They still have some pretty young goal scorers, and I think they're going to really learn a lot from Phil Kessel. You know, Rick Tocchet, who's the bench boss for the Coyotes, who was the what I like to call the Phil Kessel whisper when he was, you know, when he spent his time in Pittsburgh with those cup teams and everything. So, you know, he did block a trade to the Minnesota Wild. You know, I do believe that Pittsburgh was set to get Jason Zucker in return. You know, so it's unfortunate to see Phil Kessel go, but I am glad that he finally did get some cups in his back pocket, because he did spend some time in Toronto on a bad Toronto team with some not so good players that run that team before. What's his face, the coach? Oh, crap, now it's kind of escaping me. Who was Detroit's coach for a long time? You know, he kind of spent a lot of years on some bad teams. Was traded, you know, from Boston to Toronto, you know, and he's been kind of labeled as, you know, a bad teammate, which, you know, it's kind of hard to say, you know, to really say, but, you know, the Phil Kessel whisper and Rick Tocchet has definitely got himself a goal scorer who's scored 20 goals and at least every season, with a couple of those seasons being 30 goal seasons. So, you know, it's kind of unfortunate for me to see Phil Kessel go, because I did like the way he played with Malkin and company in Pittsburgh, and especially the way he played on that power play. Boy, did he really eat up points on that power play in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Carried them.
I think that's what they're going to miss most about him. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think that's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out how to fill. But I mean, when you get down to it, man, I really see this just as a big salary dump. Because Galchenyuk, like his contract isn't anywhere near what Kessel's was, because Kessel's still working off that extension, if I'm remembering correctly, that they gave him after, I believe, the first cup.
Yeah, he did get a pretty healthy extension there. It is definitely a way to kind of loosen the books and everything like that. And, you know, getting Galchenyuk in return, you know, he is definitely a good goal scorer and everything. But, you know, is he Phil Kessel? No. You know, there's not a lot of people that can match what Phil Kessel can do. But he did carry that team on the power play. He did carry him through that first cup win. And I thought that he might have been, you know, somebody who could have won the Conn Smythe Trophy during that first year, that first cup run in 2016 that they got and everything. So, you know, he's happy in Arizona. He thinks they can win in Arizona, which, you know, I kind of find it a little hard to believe, since Arizona's kind of got a lot of issues on and off the ice, especially with the lease that they have and everything. That's one of the teams that are rumored to possibly move here to Houston. So where I'm at right now, which, you know, I wouldn't really, you know, kind of argue against it, because I'd love to see some hockey here in Houston. You know, Dallas is quite a drive away and everything like that. So, you know, it's kind of fortunate. I do believe that, you know, they are going to be able to, you know, make some moves and do some damage and everything like that. You know, they still have a pretty good core, got some good solid goaltending there with Antti Raanta, especially, you know, with the way he's been playing and everything. So hopefully it'll be nice to see some Phil Kessel, you know, in the desert and everything like that. So I'm really kind of looking forward to it. But the one thing that I was really really banking on was whether the Carolina Hurricanes were going to match that offer sheet that Sebastian Aho got from Montreal. And it seems like that's going to be the case too. And they also ended up trading for Eric Halla, excuse me, from Vegas, and they also signed Peter Mrazek to a 3-year deal, if I remember correctly, to kind of really solidify that goaltending situation, because he really played off his ass in the
yeah.
playoffs this past year.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you know, Carolina's been busy. You know, from the last time we talked, just in the 2 weeks, like they've been on the the trade ticker and everything more often than any other team. A lot of moving up and down in the draft, and just it looks like they're just trying to round out that, honestly, you know, ensure that they have, you know, those good four lines that they can put out on the ice every night. You know, so I see Carolina getting better. You know, am I going to go out and say that they're going to, you know, surprise people next year? I think we've all been burnt by that one before. You know, Carolina's going to surprise people, and then they just kind of fall off the map. But I like what they're doing. You know, I would rather see them get better a little bit every year than take those big leaps and then just have it not work out for them. Because, you know, as well as I do, in the NHL, if you take big swings, those misses are even bigger, and you can really cripple your franchise for a couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely don't want to see that. You know, they did make a move to try and get, you know, I think if I remember correctly, they bought out, they bought out what's-his-face's contract after he got traded to Carolina, and, you know, when he got traded from Toronto to Carolina. And that's Patrick Marleau. Forgive me for forgetting that name. But, you know, and they still have Justin Williams to kind of possibly re-sign to as well. And they did make a Forsberg or make a trade to get Anton Forsberg, who was a goaltender for a long time up there in Chicago, and Gustav Forsling, who's been a name that's been kind of tossed around that needs to be signed. I do like the way Carolina has kind of really approached the way they've been going at things and everything like that. So, you know, and the way they played this past year, I didn't think they were going to make it as far as they did in the playoffs at all. So, you know, I'm really hoping that they can really kind of keep that momentum going. You know, they also made trades to get Calvin DeHaan, you know, back on track. They did also acquire veteran goalie James Reimer in a trade with the Panthers to replace Curtis McElhaney. They signed a 2-year deal with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, you know, they are still hopeful that they can re-sign Captain Justin Williams for his 19th season. You know, so who played, you know, pretty well with 23 goals, 50 assists, or 30 assists with 53 points this season. So, you know, hopefully, you know, with the guy with additions like Eric Halla and Brian Gibbons, who's been one of the guys that I was kind of upset that, you know, left Pittsburgh, but he's one of those speedy guys, you know, so I do believe that Carolina is on the up and up, and hopefully, you know, they can do some damage coming up next season.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, St. Louis winning the Cup this year, that should tell you, if you put together a good team and get hot at the right time, you can have some success. I mean, you know, hockey's a whole other different game than the NBA, right? But, you know, especially – like, momentum is important in every sport, but momentum is even more important to hockey. You get that good ball rolling, you know, and play good hockey, and then you just take it through the playoffs. And then, you know, you're St. Louis, who at the end of January was dead last in their division. And then next thing you know, they're hoisting the Stanley Cup, you know? So, I mean, I don't want to say they sprinted, but they put together enough talent to win the Cup. And, you know, with the owner that the Hurricanes have, this shouldn't be, like, honestly, in my opinion, the guy's got way more money than Karmanos ever had. He's already put more money in the team than Karmanos ever did. You know, I feel like they should have been a little more successful, you know, a couple years ago, but, you know, it's good to see them, you know, kind of dipping their toe into being competitive come playoff time.
Yeah, definitely. But unfortunately, Jay, I know you're kind of still paying attention there in the background, but Matt Duchene, who is kind of like some, you know, kind of, I guess, a rental player for Columbus, signed a 7-year, $56 million contract with the Nashville Predators, and that's pretty much after the trade, you know, to he signs a 7-year, $56 million deal with the Nashville Predators, which kind of really is, you know, it's kind of really, you know, I was kind of shocked by it. But, you know, with the youth that he has, with the speed that he has and the touch that he has, you know, whether he's going to be playing with the finishers like Philip Forsberg or Victor Arvidsson or gifted playmaker and Mikael Granlund, I do believe that, you know, I do believe that Matt Duchene's going to be making quite the splash with the Nashville Predators, especially with leading scorer Ryan Johansson that they had last year. So I do believe that, you know, Nashville's going to be trying to, you know, trying to make that splash, especially after Subban got traded to New Jersey and everything like that. So, unfortunately, you know, hopefully, you know, it kind of works out. You know, I do believe that's why they made the Subban move, to kind of free up some space to try and make some moves, especially with the way Duchene played the end of last season with, you know, with Columbus and everything. So, it's one of those unfortunate things that kind of unfortunately happens and everything like that. So, you know, but I am happy for the Predators and for Matt Duchene to really kind of get in there and kind of make some, you know, some splashes and some moves and everything like that. So, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, but hey, I'm kind of happy for Matt Duchene. He is going to be on a decent team at least. So hopefully it all works out for the Nashville Predators next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the Blue Jackets. I don't know what they're doing year to year. Like, I really have no idea. You can sit down and watch them, you know, have good months, and then they disappear, and then they either, you know, they try and bring in a big name, it doesn't work out, and then they settle for, like, two players thinking that they can get the same production out of the big name that they swung and missed on. And it's just like, dude, can you just get a front office kind of, like, flow going and follow it rather than just – kind of bouncing around, man, because Columbus, I mean, it's in a good city, you know, it's the only pro game in town, and if you just caught fire and did something, you know, you'd have the following that some of these other teams have, you know, and it's just, Columbus just confounds me. I have no idea what they're doing any year, you know, any given year.
You know, and that's what's really kind of bothered me too as well, because they still have Ryan Dzingel, who is a guy that they acquired that they need to get signed. They did do some damage trying to sign some of their young defensemen, Murray, a guy that I'm familiar with Scott Harrington, who is definitely going to be one of the positive looks, but, you know, losing Bobrovsky and losing, you know, Duchene has been two of the biggest issues that I've kind of seen so far, you know, so far this early of the off season. But, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is, you know, so hopefully they can try and make some splashes, but they have really tried to, you know, keep that back blue line really kind of, positive and everything like that. So, you know, they do still have some young guys, you know, and some of the guys that they have right now have been, you know, somewhat positive. You know, they still have some young guys that can really do some damage and everything, especially on that back end. But, you know, addressing that front end, especially on the offense, has definitely been, you know, some of the definitely key issues that I've seen, you know, for the Blue Jackets. But it's going to be a rough season, There's no joke. There's nothing about it. No joke about it. It is going to be a rough season for the Columbus Blue Jackets moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you could have the best defensive pairings in the NHL, but if you can't score goals, it doesn't matter. You're going to lose 1-2-0 games. You and I remember, a lot of those Penguins teams where the defense was okay, but I mean, they were able to net 4 or 5 goals a game. You can get away with that, but I mean, come on, man, you've got to be able to score. Going back to the Hurricanes, that seemed like to be an issue at the beginning of the season last year, was they just had trouble scoring at first. I like it here in Carolina, I listen to Adam and Joe, which is like our Raleigh sports radio from like 3 to 6. And Adam covers the Hurricanes games, and he would like, you could just hear it in his voice after every game. He was just like, dude, we just cannot, you know, we can't score.
Yeah.
We can't do it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And when you can't score, it doesn't matter how good that defense is. You know, it is going to be a different kind of a thing. But, you know, they did sign Gustav Nyquist, which I thought was a high price, I don't know how to really put that, but I thought they paid too much for Gustav Nyquist to try and get him to come to Columbus and everything. But, you know, unfortunately, it is going to be a rough deal for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Jay. But, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is so far. But, you know, it is still early to kind of move forward and everything. So hopefully they can stay in the positive aspect of things and still try and make some moves to try and get that team back to where it is.
Yeah, I mean, the potential is there. And honestly, like you said, though it's early, you know, we'll get through the free agent signing period, we'll hit camps, and then we're going to see, you know, certain players, maybe they don't mesh well in the system, they're going to be released from the contract, and that could give Columbus, you know, or even teams like Carolina, you know, opportunities to scoop guys up that'll really help them out. But, you know, I'm just looking at this roster right now, man. This is going to be one goal deficient team.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, moving on, like you said, the best remaining unrestricted free agents, Ryan Dzingel, for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Patrick Marleau for the Carolina Hurricanes, Joe Thornton for the San Jose Sharks, Justin Williams still for the Carolina Hurricanes, Jake Gardner for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Ben Hutton who for the Vancouver Canucks, Nicholas Cronwall for the Detroit Red Wings, Dion Phaneuf, who had had his contract bought out by the Los Angeles Kings, Cam Wood for the Chicago Blackhawks. Those are some of the big names that are still out and about right now. And those are some of the big names that I still feel that are still, you know, active. And I still feel that these are the guys that I still feel like can make some splashes, you know, and everything like that. But, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is. And, you know, hopefully these are some of the guys that can really make a big splash.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where Thornton and Marleau end up. I think Thornton, if he can link up with a team that's got some good scoring wings, like, he'd be in a perfect position. And Marleau, I just don't know how I feel about him at this point. It just seems like, you know, I mean, he was essentially a throw-in to the Hurricanes for that first-round pick. You know, so I don't know, you know, does you think he's got enough tread on the tires still for somebody to take a shot and actually put him out there?
You know what, that is something that I've been kind of really, you know, something I've been really kind of pondering over. But, you know, from what I've been gathering and what I've been seeing, you know, his contract was bought out by Carolina. But, you know, I do believe that, you know, he might still end up back in San Jose, you know, to go back home. You know, that's some place that, you know, he's been really, you know, that's some place, that's one place that I've been really kind of really, you know, seeing so far, for the future. But, you know, but the way with the, you know, with the way that things have been kind of playing out for, you know, said team, but, you know, who knows? You know, does Carolina really want to make that, you know, make that kind of commitment, especially for a guy who's in his late 30s, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's something I just don't know about.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, he's going to command, just on name alone, $5 to $6 million a year, and you're going to get 30 – like, he put up 37 points last year. You know, in today's NHL, you know, $5 to $6 million a year, you need to put up more than 37 points. That's just how it is with the economics of the game. So, I mean, and I could see him going back to San Jose just because he spent so many years there. But, I mean, it seems like San Jose is starting to realize, you know, being one of the top teams in the West and getting put out of the playoffs in the first or second round, it seems like every year, you know, they realize that they just can't keep running it back. They're going to have to make big decisions on, you know, how they can actually get deeper in the playoffs and possibly win that Stanley Cup.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the big thing is now that Pavelski's gone out of San Jose, you know, you still have Joe Thornton, you know, but is that a guy that you really want to spend some money on? That's probably not going to, you know, he's definitely not going to be that guy that you're going to rely on night in and night out. You know, it's, you know, unfortunately it is what it is, but, you know, with Pavelski gone, with Donskoy gone, are you going to really want to rely on, you know, rely on Thornton and a guy like Marlowe to move forward, you know? So, you know, the team's not getting any younger. That's definitely for sure. You're still, you know, you're still one of the top teams in the West, but unfortunately, you know, I just don't see that really working out for them in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many times you can keep running it back. Like, watching the Sharks get knocked out in the first or second round of the playoffs, it's like, it's almost an annual tradition at this point. You know, we've seen it so long, happen so often. It's just like, well, okay, the Sharks were, you know, top three teams in the West, but are they going to make it through the first round this year? And if they do, we definitely know they're getting knocked out in the second. It seems like it happens
definitely.
Like taxes, you know.
You know, it is what it is, and you know, with injuries, the way they've been acting for the San Jose Sharks, you know, I just don't believe that you can spend that kind of money on, you know, on Thornton and Marlowe, because especially now that you've spent so much money on Erik Karlsson. You know, who knows what's going to happen with that team?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, to say the least, come November, seeing what that roster looks like completely, you know, going into, you know, the beginning of the season. So, I mean, I think next year, honestly, you're probably going to see some teams just go for it. You know, like I said, St. Louis coming out of the West, winning that Stanley Cup, why not? You know, catch lightning in a bottle and see what happens. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to you know, the drop of the puck.
Yeah, me too. So hopefully that's how it kind of works out for them. So, you know, it is what it is right now. So it is going to be a long drug out, you know, kind of dog days, kind of free agency, kind of kind of a summer for me. So
yeah, I mean, that's the thing about free agency. You know, the fan in you is like, this is the time for, you know, my team to get better. And then, you know, being a sports nerd, you start looking at the money, you know, the salary caps, you know, what they're allowed to offer, and you're just like, you know, maybe this isn't the year that my team goes out and pulls this name out and we're suddenly a contender, you know.
Yeah. So the only thing I'm really looking forward, you know, for is the Winter Classic, that's coming to Dallas, that I'm still looking forward to. So, you know, that's something, unfortunately.
Well, that'll be cool. You know, they're kind of getting it out of the Northeast and getting it to other places. I'm interested to see how the ice handles, you know, how it holds up for three periods. But, I mean, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, that's just something I'm looking forward so far. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the Winter Classic, which is going to be Dallas, and I do believe it's going to be Dallas against Nashville. So it is going to be in the something I'm going to be looking forward to. So something hopefully that I can get there, cover it for us. So, but it is going to be Dallas and Nashville in the Winter Classic. So two teams that have been the biggest teams that have made some big moves so far, some of the biggest moves so far.
Well, I want to jump in here because we've gotten, I've let you guys go way past. And I want to thank everybody for that is still tuned in. So I want to make sure that. First of all, I want to thank Izzo, as always. I'm looking forward to catching up with you next week. Not this week coming up, but the following week. We will do this again on a Wednesday next week. The plans are Tuesday. The following week, though, Mike, myself, and actually who introduced Mike and myself, a mutual buddy actually who I watched the Cavaliers win Game 7 against Golden State when they won the championship with. We're all going out to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers game that Tuesday night. So we will be out of commission Tuesday, but we'll be back in the studio Wednesday, the 24th. So I'm looking forward to that, looking forward to hanging out with these guys. But next Tuesday night, Izzo, we'll be back in the studio. We'll be doing this again. Looking forward to having you back and looking forward to catching up and everything in the off season, and looking forward to more NHL.
Always. So we'll be looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll catch up with you a little bit later on. Mike, I want to thank you as well for joining us tonight. Looking forward. Hopefully we get you back in here in the studio again next week. We got a lot of things as we prepare for the NFL season coming up. We're halfway point in the Major League Baseball. We got more NBA offseason stuff going on as it's been crazy. Like, this is been one of those things. And as much as people don't like Colin Cowherd, he kind of called this when we watched the NBA do what they did and teams go all in to win a championship. We kind of seen, and the NFL do the same thing. We kind of seen this is what was going to happen in the offseason. And so this has kind of been the trend for both of these leagues, and it's been very exciting. And things have happened we didn't expect was going to happen. So I can only imagine what's going to happen over this next week. So looking forward to sitting down in the studio again next week and doing this possibly next Tuesday, if not Wednesday. But thanks for joining us. Looking forward to hanging out with you and Tim in 2 weeks at the Fayetteville Woodpecker. It would be my first Fayetteville Woodpecker game. It feels weird just saying Woodpecker. Like, I don't know why. I even grew up watching Woody Woodpecker, but it's just weird saying Woodpecker. I don't know. I don't know if it's just because I'm a big kid. Like, I warned the girl that I'm with now, like, you're going to ask me at some point, are you 41 or 14? And I feel that you're going to ground me to the car with your kids at some point. Like, I'm just a big kid. I don't know why. So saying Woodpecker is just one of those things that just makes me feel like a big kid. I don't know. But I did one of the ladies that actually works for the Woodpeckers. She actually comes in my store on a daily basis. She was kind of upset that we weren't going to be in there on the weekend game because she only does the, I guess she does the beer section out there on the weekend.
Okay.
So she does schooling and stuff. She's the one that actually dropped the schedule off and everything for me. And I talked to her today or yesterday and let her know that we was going to be out there. And she's like, oh, you're going to be out there on the weekend. With the second job, it makes it kind of hard. And so that's why Tim and I had picked. Not only that was one of the reasons, but the main reason was the fact that the whole Cleveland Indians affiliation as well. So it kind of all worked out. Those just were better days for me. But trying to reserve my days off on the weekends for my trips home as I do prepare for those that don't know. I will be escorting North Carolina at some point and be making the move back to North Carolina or back to Ohio at some point, probably around the first of the year. For those that don't keep up with me social media-wise personally, I did reunite with my first ever girlfriend 25 years ago, and that's why I've been going home every month on cue, and life is great right now, so hopefully it continues that way. So that is the big reason why, as my mother did throw up in my face, that she was not the reason I was moving back after all these years, that another girl was. But anyway, I almost moved back 2 years ago, and the big reason is my mom. I do want to spend quality time. It can't be thrown in my face too hard because I do about 4 to 5 activities a year with my mom, so I do spend a lot of time with my mom. It just was the first girlfriend ever that just kind of made the push for me. So, and her three wonderful kids that actually, while you guys were talking, I was talking to one of them that is part of the drill team, Warriorettes. For those that don't know where I'm from, actually, we have the biggest high school in Ohio. Braxton Miller went to my high school. We are highly recruited. When I went to high school, our average offensive line weight was 305. We're a big school.
Good God.
We're a big deal where we're from. Looking forward to Friday nights at the Wayne Warriors football games. We go to the state championship every year. Got a lot to look forward to, and I have not been part of the Friday night high school football scene since I went to high school, so looking forward to actually being part of all that. So lot going on. So I am trying to get it all situated and figured out, glad to have you on board, Mike. You are a big part of what has helped me stay focused and do what Miss Lee needs me to do, and I'm working on getting more things done. I know I got things I got to get updated and everything else, but I do want to thank you. And you are a big reason that things are getting done. So I do want to thank you. You have no idea. Miss Lee's about to shoot me. So thank you very much.
I love being involved. You know, I get to watch sports, write about it, and talk about it. It's great, man. So I'm glad to be here. Glad to be involved. You know, so I'm trust me. I've got a whole plan for the blog. Get some more posts up, especially going into the NFL. So, and I'll hit you up in a message, let you know the details and how it's all going to go down.
Gotcha. Just appreciate everything you've been doing, and looking forward to everything that we get to do together while I'm here and moving forward as well. We'll catch up this week, and hopefully we get you back on next week, one or both days. But you enjoy your evening, and we'll talk off show.
All right, man. You take it easy.
Yes, sir. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. Make sure you guys check them out on Facebook, Fit for Life. 24/7, 365, get your gym on, clean facility, courtesy staff, everything you possibly need or want. That is Fit for Life. Also want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus. Mario Edwards will hook you up. Just let the 110 Nation set you. Hit him up on Facebook. You guys are finding him at Carolina Sports Plus. Great guy. I've had an opportunity to build a great relationship with him and know him for the last few years. Got to hang out with him, his family, get to know him. Great stuff. Great sporting merchandise. I got a lot of things at my house because of him. And make sure you guys check him out. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook. Give us a like, 110 Nation Sports. Check out the site, www.110nationsports.com. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, Race Chat Live with Craig and Chris. Make sure you guys, or Chris and Craig. I don't know why I want to say that backwards. I don't know why. It's always been Chris and Craig. I cannot wait to hear their thoughts about an Xfinity Series guy. Stealing one from the Cup guys, with just Justin Haley winning the Cup race. So looking forward to that. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Make sure you guys are here. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. you are a part of the 110 Nation. So be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.